Well, we have just one story in this edition of the news. The shock announcement on Thursday that Fermentum Group, the parent company of beer brands including Stone and Wood, had been sold to Lion Australia. You were likely as shocked by this as I was. You know how committed Stone and Wood seemed to be to staying independent back when we met the founders on the Drinks Adventures podcast and explored the remarkable achievements of their brewery in 2019. Soon after the news broke, I published an opinion piece that expressed pretty clearly how I felt about their backflip on independence and the unfortunate knock-on effects it has for the independent brewing movement. The article had a tremendous response on Instagram and Facebook and in reply to my newsletter that went out on Friday. And remember that you can sign up for that free of charge at drinksadventures.com.au and also follow me on social media at By James Atkinson. If you missed it, I've linked to the opinion piece from the show notes. But on Friday, I got hold of Ross Jurisich to ask him what had changed in the last couple of years that led him and the other founders of Stone and Wood to change their minds so dramatically. He said the idea of a complete sale of the business arose after Stone and Wood found itself drastically short of capacity when pubs and restaurants reopened after the COVID lockdowns at the end of last year.
Yeah, the business just took off like at a rate of knots. And we found ourselves at Christmas and the summer peak period not being able to supply demand again, but frustratingly so this time around. And, you know, we've always struggled to maintain supply over the peak period, but none as more as what we encountered last year. Because during COVID, we expanded our packaged beer distribution, and you may not recall that, you know, half of our volume is sold on premise. It had a massive impact when, you know, when things shut down. And so what we did, we expanded our packaged beer distribution, probably more nationally as opposed to, you know, concentrated on the East Coast. And then as we came into that summer period, we had to renege on those commitments that we had made to customers for packaged beer. And that doesn't sit well with anyone. It doesn't sit well with a customer. It doesn't sit well, you know, with us, the supplier. And it's just incredibly frustrating and on both sides. And that's when we said, right, we've got to dust off those plans for the new brewery in Mooloolaba that we had shelved, waiting for the right time. And then when we started working on how we were going to fund that, you know, this is a $50 million project, right? So it's a considerable investment. It's a very capital-intensive project. And we looked at a number of different options on how we were going to fund that. And the four founding families came together and said, do we still have the appetite for this? You know, the four founding families are at different stages of their life. Do we want to stump up $50 million and what that entails? A divestment, bank debt, you know, all sorts of different opportunities to raise funds for it. Or do we take this as an opportunity to toss the keys to a new custodian and let them run with it? At the end of the day, sooner or later, as a founder, you are going to pass your business on. And whether you're passing it on to your other business partners, a new buyer, you IPO it, or whatever the case may be, you're not taking it to the grave. And so we sat around and we spoke about this, and we spoke about if we had the appetite and the energy to go again, and, you know, all the risk that was involved with that. You know, it's at least a two-year build, bed the brewery in and see the, you know, the benefits on the other side. So, you know, you've got that strong foundation. Or do we take this as a real fork in the road? And as I mentioned before, let someone else take the project on. And we decided to do the latter.
That being the case, do you have any kind of sense of regret at how strongly worded Stone and Wood's commitment to independence has been over the years? It sounded very much like a multi-generational commitment to independence, regardless of what the future may hold.
Mate, when it comes to independence, sure, okay. Let me take you on that point. You know, Jamie and Brad were instrumental in setting up the Independent Brewers Association as a body for a whole bunch of smaller brewers that could tap into resources that, as an industry, people need, and, you know, breweries and businesses need. So, yeah, they were very proud of that and deservedly so. You know, they did a great job in setting that up. And Brad was even the chair of the Brewers Association there for a period of time. They definitely communicated on that platform. But, you know, when other breweries sold and lost their independence, just like Stone & Wood has, we were always of the opinion that every brewery has an opportunity and every business owner has the opportunity to sell. But it comes down to the communication on that sale and how you actually go about that. And I guess that's what was our frustration, that, you know, people suggesting nothing's going to change, you know, everything's going to stay the same, et cetera. And I think everybody knows full well that's not the case, and it's no point just rolling out that same line. We know at Stone & Wood that things are going to change. Absolutely that are going to change. That's why Lion bought it. You know, there's an incredible amount of unmet demand out there, and Lion are perfectly, you know, positioned to meet that demand. So, yeah, things are going to change.
One thing I will pull you up on is I've really noticed this word custodian getting bandied around. A few years ago, I think you guys were getting upset that the word partner was getting used in the context of an acquisition, and custodian is a temporary thing. What's with this new word that's been added to the lexicon when buyer is probably the more accurate word?
Well, buyer, custodian, at the end of the day, a buyer is a custodian, aren't they? It's another group of people, a business, an organisation that takes on responsibility for, you know, for the operation or, you know, for the business itself. We sort of use that word custodian because when we were looking for the next set of hands to leave this business in, there were a number of criteria that we set out to ensure that what we had built over the years was going to continue. And so we found that word custodian and custodianship was an appropriate word because it encapsulates everything that we have built and handing that over to another party to continue taking forward.
What was the reaction among the employees yesterday? Was it mixed?
It was mixed, mate. Yeah, absolutely. It was mixed. We have a lot of long-term people in our business, even though, you know, we've been operating for 13 years. Some people have been there for a long time. And those people are very grateful because they stand to gain most out of the employee share scheme that we set up way back when. They're grateful for the opportunity to have had the roles and the types of jobs in the Northern Rivers. Some people are disappointed because it's change. It's just going to take time for people to get their hands around things. But, you know, as the dust settled last night and into this morning, you know, we've been overwhelmed with with so much positive feedback. You know, the things that people have joined our organisation for, it's just not, you know, for a job and remuneration, etc. It's the things that we've done with the environment, the community, all our stakeholders, our suppliers, and the way we operate, and part of those pieces that I mentioned earlier on, those parameters that we wanted the new buyer, if you want to call it a buyer or custodian, had to meet was ensuring that your new brewery was built. So jobs in the Northern Rivers were maintained. Donation to the Ingrain Foundation, which fast forwards our Ingrain program by 10 years. One of the three founders will remain on the board of that. $1 million to Big Scrub, Landcare. Mate, when we told those guys, actually we didn't have the opportunity to tell them. They read it in the newspaper, but when we touched base with them last night, mate, they were in tears. A $1 million donation to an organisation like that is unbelievable. And they're the things that people in our business appreciate about what Fermentum is.
Do you accept that this is going to be damaging to the independence movement, though, just because, as Jamie and you guys have said in the past, when a sale like this happens, it really does erode consumer trust, and especially with how much you guys have sort of given consumers confidence that Stone & Wood isn't going to be like one of the others and isn't going to sell?
Mate, there's 600-odd breweries in Australia, you know, and Stone & Wood is one of them. Sure, we've been around longer than most, but the industry is in a great position. It's healthy. There's plenty of competition in the marketplace, and I honestly believe it will continue to grow and thrive. You know, someone was chatting yesterday about consolidation. and there's less breweries in Australia. It's actually the opposite. There's more and more breweries entering the market every day, every week. So I'm very confident for the industry and the category.
What does this mean for you? And Brad and Jamie was already sort of semi-retired, and I assume this kind of makes him fully retired. But what about for you and Brad?
Well, Jamie is the worst retired person in retirement. He just struggles to not stay busy, and that's fantastic. You know, he's still involved in a lot of different things and a lot of boards and what have you. And he'll continue doing that. For myself, I'm obviously younger than the other guys, so it's the start of a new chapter for me personally. I'm the same age now that Jamie was when we started the brewery. So we're at different, you know, stages of our lives. And it's an opportunity for me to go and do something, you know, something else. Obviously, there's a restraint of trade. We can't set up a brewery for another couple of years, and that's fine. That's what you would expect.
You can start planning one, though.
Well, you can start planning one. Yeah. I think I'll go and have a rest. I'll have a rest for a while. And you're going to find me in some very remote surf locations around the world for the next year, I'd say, that don't have much Wi-Fi. So I'm not sure how much planning I'll be doing. And Brad, you'll probably find him bunkered down somewhere in Tassie in a nice Pinot vineyard somewhere, I'd say. But no, mate, that's a question for Brad. But his mind's always going to be thinking about the next opportunity in fermentation.
And, you know, you mentioned about Lion sort of having the capacity for the business. So you are still committed to building that brewery, but is what you were sort of suggesting that if there's any shortfall of capacity in the next couple of years as that project gets off the ground, then Lion will be able to step in and brew some of those beers only in the short term?
Oh, well, mate, even in the long term, James, and that's a reality of it. We're not scared of making beer outside of Moolumbar. We do it in the UK already because it makes no sense to be sending kegs of beer halfway around the planet. So we contract Pacific Ale in the UK. Our new Green Coast 3.5, we don't have the capacity to be brewing that in Moolumbar, and that's also contract brewed. I'd love to see Stone & Wood Pacific Ale brewed at Little Creatures in WA just so we don't have to transport cartons and kegs across the Nullarbor. You're going to get fresher beer. It's far better for the environment. So it just makes far better sense to be able to brew your beer closer to where those marketplaces are. It's the same, you know, one of the great things about acquiring Two Birds earlier this year was it gave us the opportunity to be brewing Fixation beers down there. It's closer to the marketplace and it's fresher beer, you know, less freight and transport and all of that. So, yeah, I would suggest that Lion will definitely take the opportunity to brew the beer closer to all those different markets that it's needed.
Ross Jurisich speaking there. One thing's for certain, the sale of Stone & Wood will open up plenty of growth opportunities for smaller breweries to pick up some of the independent taps that will now be vacated as Pacific Ale and the other Stone & Wood beers are incorporated under Lion's tap contracts. And hopefully we'll see some of them manage to grow to scale while maintaining their independence. In 2022, Cooper's Brewery will celebrate its 160th birthday as a family-owned brewery. So that's something for them to aspire to.